This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. Nobody wants bad things to happen, whether it's natural disasters or financial ones. But what does happen when crisis prevention takes risk right out of the equation? Greg Ipp has spent some time pondering that. He's the chief economics commentator at The Wall Street Journal, and his new book is called Foolproof: Why Safety Can Be Dangerous and How Danger Makes Us Safe. Greg, thanks for coming on.
Thanks very much for having me.
Can we make ourselves safe? The message here is maybe we don't want to.
It's a complicated question, but there's no doubt that oftentimes when we're trying to make our economy, our environment, ourselves safer, we're actually doing things that may make us complacent or take more different risks and end up having different types of disasters. That was the story of the financial crisis. We dealt with the risks we knew, like inflation and recessions and bank failures. And in the process, we encouraged people to think that we had made recessions and financial crises things of the past and encouraged them to take more risk. Just think about driving on a snowy road with snow tires. You have more traction, so you drive a little bit faster, which works great until you spin out and then your accident is worse.
Let me get you back to the financial crisis, though. Are we safer today for having gone through the crisis? I mean, because there's going to be another one, right? Nobody doubts that there's going to be another crisis sometime.
There absolutely is going to be another crisis. And one of the points I want to emphasize is that crises result from taking risks. And risk-taking is something that is not bad. It's actually good. It's why people take chances on new innovations, new businesses. We can't have a system that gets rid of all possibility of crisis. Banks are going to fail. What you want is a system that allows banks to fail without bringing down the rest of the system. And we've got that now with the Dodd-Frank law. Banks thought they had made themselves safer with all sorts of financial innovations like mortgage-backed securities and derivatives. But it turns out they were just transferring those risks to someone else, and the amount of risk in the system was going up. It's far, far better to make banks hold more shareholders' equity, which means it really doesn't matter what kind of mistake they make. That will protect them from the next problem.
Periodic crisis, you write, is the price we pay for long-term safety.
That's right. Let's take a couple examples. The housing bubble obviously resulted in a lot of wreckage. But look back to the 1990s when we had a different type of bubble, the stock market bubble. NASDAQ stocks going to ridiculous prices and valuations, Pets.com, Webvan. Remember those? Who could forget?
That's right.
And it seems like a lot of people lost a lot of money. It was a big waste. But on the other hand, the craze of the internet bubble enabled a lot of companies to lay a lot of fiber optic cable. And then they went bankrupt because they laid too much of it and the prices collapsed. But the availability of all that cheap bandwidth made it possible for all sorts of new businesses to crop up, like Facebook, like cloud computing. So the point I'm trying to make here is that I wouldn't want the Federal Reserve to go around popping bubbles all the time because they might pop the good bubbles as well as the bad ones.
Is it too broad for me to say that we would all be more safe if we were a little bit less safe?
Let me first say that we as a civilization have made tremendous strides in making ourselves healthier, wealthier. We live longer. Few of us die of terrible diseases. Our roads are safer. Our skies are safer. One of the things we need to do is ask ourselves, are we putting the collective society at risk by allowing individuals to take steps that actually might make sense for them? Classic example is antibiotics. If you've got kids and they have a sore throat, you know, you're a worried parent, you might go to the doctor and say, can I just have like an antibiotic now, just in case? Even though we know that most sore throats don't respond to antibiotics because they're caused by viruses. And each family or each parent, by taking an antibiotic unnecessarily out of that sense of caution, contributes to the prevalence of antibiotic resistance germs. And so it is, in a little way, putting all society at risk. Providing us with these safety devices, providing us with environmental stability, it does do a lot of good, actually. It's not a lot of fun going around being afraid all the time that you're going to die in a car crash. It's not a lot of fun, actually, worrying all the time you're going to lose your money because of a financial crisis. If we insisted that banks never took any risk at all, they wouldn't lend to the businesses who, in the end, will make those innovations and create those jobs and, in the end, make us all wealthier. So I guess it's necessary to have a balance here, to accept the small disasters and make sure we don't allow the big disasters to occur.
Greg Ipp is the chief economics commentator at The Wall Street Journal. His most recent book is called Foolproof. Greg, thanks very much for your time.
Kai, thanks so much for having me.